We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is now 7:09 here at WCCO. Welcome. You are listening to Steele Talk, and I'm your host, Geralyn Steele. It is what I love to do here on CCO, is sit here and speak with you. And anytime you want to join us on a conversation, give us a call at 651-989-9226. Are you ready? Strap in, darlings, honey, because it's time to fly. Here we go. Mama told me not to waste my life. She said, spread your wings. Woo! Don't let what they say. They saying a lot, aren't they? Uh-huh. I love this song. Wings are made to fly. Woo! I just feel great. Don't you love it when a song can motivate you, can uplift you? That song does that for me. And now that I'm sitting in front of this microphone and I get to talk to you, I am just as happy as I can be. Thank you for joining us on Sunday nights. We sure appreciate it. We have a great show lined up for you tonight. Some guests, some talking. We got a lot to do. Shaletta Brundage is running the show as our in-studio producer tonight. How you doing, Shaletta?
I am great. I'm worried about Susie Jones. Bless her heart.
Oh, she's doing. Let me tell you something. Susie looks good. She looks might feel good. A little out of the weather, but she looks good.
I'm all right.
And a trooper.
Yeah.
A trooper.
It's well, going around.
It is. And I'm telling you, girls, I had that last weekend where it was more sick, not, you know, sick to my stomach. And now it's up in my head. And oh, my goodness. But I was having I had a party last night. I had planned, girls.
You had a party?
No, I got to tell you. So these nine women, they're all moms, mm-hmm. and we came to be friends when the children were little. I don't know if you've ever heard of early childhood family education.
Oh, yeah.
ECFE.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. So the kids were little, you know, two, and we would play, and the moms would all hang out. So we're still friends, 25, almost, this is our, you know, many years.
Beautiful.
So it was my time to host Christmas dinner, you know, the holidays.
Is this your first time in 30
no,
years?
No, I've done it a few times. I'm not much
all
of a host.
All of a sudden you said this was my time.
Well, anyone who knows me knows that I don't keep a very good house. I'm not a good cook and lots of things. So my friend Lisa came over and she cleaned and she made me do all this stuff to make it look pretty. So I'm all ready, and I've got lasagna made, and the tree is up, and it's beautiful. And then it started to snow to beat the band.
Oh, seriously.
And everybody got a little scared and decided not to venture out.
Yeah.
And so they said, we're not going to come. I'm like, okay.
So you had a lot of lasagna, a lot of wine, and a beautiful house and a tree.
All
so
by
what's
myself.
Wrong with that? What's wrong with that?
Well, if I drank wine, you
strike
know.
Up the band.
No,
darling.
But I made lasagna, and let me tell you, girl, it was good.
Was it good?
It was.
How many cheeses?
Two.
What kind of cheeses?
Ricotta and mozzarella.
Mm. Oh, mozzarella. I'm scared of mozzarella.
Why?
Because my daughter almost lost her life one time. She was, 9 years old at one of those restaurants, Italian restaurants in town. She got those cheese sticks, fried cheese sticks, and it was mozzarella, and it got stuck in the throat.
Oh.
And it was someone at the restaurant who knew the Heimlich remote, you know.
Got it
and
out.
And they got
yeah.
it out for
oh,
and it just scared me. And so I never buy it. I don't eat pizza hardly ever.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
I can see that emotional trauma, mm-hmm. you know, freaks you out. I
yeah, mean, it freaks
yeah.
you out.
Yeah, bad
and pizza
things.
Is some good stuff.
I'll tell you that.
It takes a lot for Geralyn not to have some pizza. If it's way too much mozzarella, though, I don't go there. Okay, so I'm
can
trying
I
to think of a
one
dish.
More thing before.
Yeah.
You were wonderful on Almanac Friday night. My mom called me.
Really?
And she
Wasn't
said,
she
turn
great?
On Almanac. Geralyn's on Almanac. And I'm like, okay. They were so pretty. You should have seen their costumes.
I was there with them.
Oh, yes, she was.
Did you miss it?
Shaletta. I just turned on the music bit.
No, Shaletta does the whole rant. What do we call it? A rant. And she is so good at it.
Oh.
So she was dressed in hospital wear, girl. She had a do-rag on her hair. And my brother Billy said, take that do-rag off
They
your
made
head.
Me take my do-rag off.
No.
I was going to go on TV. First time on Almanac, I think I would have made history.
Yeah.
Have
you
anybody ever worn a do-rag on
So
on
you
Almanac.
Did the monologue?
Oh, yeah. I did the monologue.
Is that the first time you ever did
no.
it?
No.
You do
I've
it all the time.
She did it for years on Almanac.
But why are you saying with, oh, first time to wear a do-rag?
A do-rag, yeah. Do you think anybody else? Do you think Kathy Warzer has ever worn a do-rag?
No, I do
not. Are you kidding me? She's coiffed at all
times. I did that monologue one time.
How long was it?
I love it. It's fast. One minute.
No, 2 minutes.
Oh, they give you 1:30 now.
Oh, is it 1:30?
Yeah.
I remember when it was 2 minutes.
So it's fun. Well, good for you. I'm sorry. Do you do it every week?
No. It wasn't even my turn. Like, somebody didn't show up, so they called me. And I'm so glad because I surprised Geraldine. Yes, she didn't know I was going to be there. So I got all kinds
of
pictures.
Came in the dressing room with Javita and I and Kathy Wurzer. Let me tell you something. She put down all her makeup. I went, excuse me. Where's my seat at? I had to go get another chair. I love it. We had a great time, though.
Well, it was
really
wonderful.
Fun.
Thank I just
you
wanted
so
to bring
much.
It up because I love your
Thank
family.
Thank you. It's so funny. I always call my mom whenever I'm on Almanac. As I'm leaving, I call her on my cell phone. I go, Mom, you know, how was it? She goes, oh, the interview was great. I go, how I look? Silence. When it's silence,
Mom.
That means, oh, dang, nabbit. I know what she's going to say, right?
What?
Well, you didn't like your dress?
Now, you look pretty, but you know, you need to lose some weight. You know, my mother's very honest. That's what I love about her.
Ooh.
I told you I wore a denim suit on a TV one time for an interview.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, I walked in the door at my mom's house to get some coffee.
Mm-hmm.
I thought she was going to go, great job. You look so good. It was a brand new denim suit. She said, don't you ever wear a denim suit on television again. You dress up like the rest of them. I was like,
oh my gosh.
Okay.
Calm down, Mom.
But this time I called her and she was like, oh, you guys look so
beautiful.
Pretty.
Weren't they, girl, the costumes? Who does your costumes?
Javita does.
Javita
and Fred.
Everyone.
And let me tell you, Javita and Fred. And the thing about it is that the guys were sparkling so much. Mm-hmm. Before we went on air, Kathy Wurzer looked at one of them and said, I got to have one of those jackets. I got to have one. Girl, they were sparkling all over the place.
Yeah, it was beautiful.
They kind of matched those 10 aluminum trees in the back.
Oh, man.
Seriously.
Anyway.
Okay, so now we got to talk about something a little more serious.
Okay.
Okay, so 94 years is a really good life. You've done something for real when you can say, I live 94 years and in pretty dang good health. And so, of course, President H.W. Bush died this weekend. And boy, everyone's been talking about his legacy and what he's done. And we're going to have a guest on at 7:30 that Shaletta was able to line up with Jimmy. And I'm looking forward to talking to Doug Weed, who actually had a chance to work with him as well.
Mm.
But when I sit back and I think about George W. Bush and the years when he was in office, I keep saying to myself, what is the one thing that I will remember him for?
Mm.
And I asked my mother that question. She gave me two things. Do you know what it would be for you, Susie?
The older Bush?
Yeah.
I would say it would be the Middle East, the war, and you just Kuwait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Saturday Night Live made fun of him, you know, but it was going into Kuwait and shock and awe.
Shock and awe.
Yeah.
Isn't that the truth?
Yeah.
I remember, who was it on? Was it CNN? I think it was named Bernard Shaw. Was that his name? The news person?
Mm-hmm.
And he was so afraid. Really. He went like, he kind of cowered down and just trembled.
Mm.
And I thought to myself, what would I do if I was in a situation like that? Because none of us know.
Mm.
And a camera is on you. None of us know.
So he was reporting from where it was happening.
Yeah.
And he was afraid.
He was terrified. Yeah. Absolutely terrified.
Well, do you remember that incident, too? That was when all of the people that they were attacking came out and gave up. They were all starving. You remember that?
I don't remember that.
It was very fast. It didn't last. I mean, now this conflict in the Middle East with Iraq and Afghanistan, it just goes on and on and on.
On the longest war ever.
I know, but I don't really know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I feel sad.
I don't know if they're doing anything.
Yeah.
It really is disturbing.
I know.
And so when you think about what that president did, you know, because their legacy as a family is really quite remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
And so he worked really hard. He'd been so many things before he finally became president.
Mm-hmm.
He had run a couple of times before, if I'm not mistaken.
I listened on 60 Minutes tonight to the younger Bush say how many times he'd lost.
Yeah, how many times he lost and he finally won. But he only did that one term, right? He didn't do a second term.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what it is about not getting that second term, but boy. Those that run for office, if they don't get that second term, they get really upset.
Mm-hmm.
What is it about that?
Oh, it's ego, isn't it? I mean, you know, he wanted to win again, and most of them do. I mean, Obama had two, right?
Yeah.
Clinton had two. I don't know. It was interesting to listen to him, though, today. I listened to Howard Baker, the former – it was a friend of – is it Howard Baker?
It's James Baker.
James Baker.
Oh,
yeah.
James Baker. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He was weepy on 60 Minutes tonight because when his wife died of cancer, the Bushes took him in. He had three small children, and his wife had died of cancer.
And they took
him in? I had no idea they were – I mean, you learn things when people pass. Mm-hmm.
Those are the kind of things we need to hear more of when it comes to our leaders. Mm-hmm. The humanizing thing. What would you remember about him?
And see, I grew up kind of under their leadership. Since I'm from Texas and lived in Houston, mm-hmm. I watched the grandkids grow up. I was actually there when George W. Bush declared that he was going to run for governor of Texas. Mm-hmm. So I've seen their entire family grow up, and I've seen, you know, his love and kindness in the city of Houston and in the state of Texas, and how he took his family to baseball games, and he would buy the whole section that he was sitting in ice cream. When he was at an Astros game, or, you know, how he and his wife would show up at libraries in the inner city unannounced and read to the children.
That's cool. But you know, he could have bought ice cream for the whole stadium, right?
For the whole state.
I mean, can we talk, Susie? You know
state.
What I'm talking about.
I do. I
he can
do.
Buy it. Okay. It's I no do. Problem with
I
that.
Do.
Okay. We've got Julie calling in from Minneapolis. Hey, right. Julie, what do you have to say to Shaletta, Geraldine, and of course, Susie Jones from our newsroom?
Well, I love talking to the ladies, and I think it's appropriate. Now, you know, there are a lot of wonderful things about our ex-president, and he had some wonderful accomplishments. But to be honest, as a woman, what I remember is I remember seeing him on, perhaps it was CNN, it was so long ago, and he was very anti-abortion. And he said he didn't believe in making an exception for incest or rape because, you know, women will lie.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I was very struck by that. You know, however much a gentleman he was and how accomplished, that's something I remembered as a woman. Now, his wife was pro-choice and so forth. But yes, he was a compassionate conservative, but not a perfect man in his private life either. I don't deny his accomplishments, and I hope I don't come off as being ill-mannered, but as a woman, that really bugged me.
Yeah, I understand that, Julie. Thank you so much for calling in. You know, here's the thing. A dear person to me actually said the one thing she would remember is the Willie Horton and how Willie Horton was used during that campaign in 1988.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that?
Yep.
I mean, it was really ugly. And she said it just should not have happened, that he should not have been a pawn. Mm-hmm. But, you know, that's kind of what's happening now with the caravan and so many other things, right?
It's
pawn. That, you know, people are used sometimes in those. What about you? Anyone else? Shaletta, want to say anything else?
No more phone calls, but another thing that I really remember about the Bushes is, and you don't think this, but his sense of humor. He had a dry sense of humor where it was funny to only him, and it was really so not funny that you had to laugh.
I get so upset with people like that. Can I just say that when they tell a joke or they say something, they cracked up, they crack themselves up.
Yeah.
It's like, can you tell yourself that in a room all by yourself? Because we didn't get that.
And his sock collection. He's known for his socks.
He is
and
known
even
for
when his,
socks. His
wife, Miss Barbara, who he loved for 73 years, she passed away. She was big on reading and books and libraries and making sure that, you know, kids had access to that, especially in Houston. He wore socks that had books on them in her honor. So he's always, you know, known for his custom socks, so I'll remember that.
And Susie. Shaletta, you showed me a cartoon today. I don't know if you saw it, Geraldine.
I did.
So I did not know they lost a child. They had a 4-year-old
right,
daughter.
From leukemia, I think it was.
And so there's a little political cartoon with Barbara and the little daughter, and they're waiting for George, and he's just got off Air Force One in heaven, and the two of them are standing there holding hands, reaching out and saying, "We were waiting for you."
Do you know that's what he said in an interview? He said when he dies, he hopes he'll go into the pearly gates and that he would see. He said they asked him, "Who would you want to see first?" And he said, "I think Barbara for sure." He said, "But my daughter as well."
Yeah.
And that's just a beautiful thought, right?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to take a break. It's a pleasure having you on, Susie.
Thank you, dear.
Feel better. Mm-hmm. We'll be back in a moment. 24. Let's make that 725 here at WCCO. And it's a Steel Talking that you're listening to. I'm your host, Geraldine Steel. Got a great show lined up for you. Our first guest will be at 7:30 after we do a little bit of the weather. Shaletta Brundage is joining me here in studio. Shaletta, I wanted to talk about neighbors who don't shovel their sidewalks. Okay. First of all, I want to say thank you to those in my mother's neighborhood who always see about her. I am amazed at her neighbors. They will come and do the side and the front. Sometimes they only get get the front. Sometimes they only get the walk up to the door. But the bottom line is that we are grateful for every time they do any of it.
They think about her.
They think about her. Isn't that a blessing? They do. And sometimes I'll get up in the morning and open the shades and think, oh man, I need to call my brothers to come and shovel, right? Because the guy that she hires, usually doesn't come that early.
Right.
And she likes to get out early.
Yeah.
But the neighbors, girl, my mother over North Minneapolis has the best neighbors.
Oh, hands that is so down. Sweet.
Hands down. I love all of you and thank you so much for doing that. So, of course, there was this issue in the city pages, right? And, they did an article about, Lisa Bender, who accuses the Star Tribune of sexism because she doesn't shovel her sidewalk. Well, do you know who she is?
Lisa Bender, that name rings a bell.
Yeah, she's a council member.
Yes.
And she is Minneapolis's champion of pedestrian-friendly urban design and year-round maintenance of careless thoroughfares. That's her job.
That's her gig.
That's her gig.
Okay.
So she's been advocating for tougher enforcement of snow shoveling, calling on residents to think of their neighbors who rely on sidewalks to get around. Well, of course, you know, anytime something like that is said, somebody from the Tribune or some writer is going to go, oh, well, then let's look at who in what legislators have not been dutiful when it comes to shoveling their snow.
Uh-huh.
Right. On the sidewalks. There was only one. It was Lisa Bender.
It was her?
It was Lisa Bender.
Oh, no.
She was what they say in the article, an errant homeowner.
Errant.
And she racked up 7 complaints last winter alone. So the city had to send someone to shovel her sidewalk, fining her $149.
7 different times.
Yeah. So this was, in the city pages this past Thursday. And so, of course, she came forward and she was saying, you're right. I have children, you know, small children. I don't have time to do it. I'm so sorry. You know, there are some senior citizens in the neighborhood that also need help with that. And some of the neighbors get together for that. So, you know, what do you do? I mean, because some of the legislators have come forward and said, how dare you, Star Tribune? How dare you go after her? You hardly ever write about President Trump, but you're writing about this. I mean, really? There are people who are coming
people
and
are
backing
upset.
Her, supporting her and saying, we understand. But, you know, what do you think about that?
I think she needs to move to your mother's neighborhood so she can have better neighbors. That's what I think.
It wasn't her neighbors that told
her. But what I'm
her.
Saying is if you're
well,
out and the neighbors are calling in, those are the ones who are filing the complaints. And instead of snitching, how about we get out there and be good neighbors and help out? You never know what somebody else is going through, and all it takes is a minute. You're already out there. Why not say, you know what? I'm just going to do it this time, and I'll leave her a little note and let her know, hey, I shoveled your drive. Hope everything's okay. If you're having some trouble, give me a call. But instead, you know, went out there, shoveled their own, and then called it in.
Well, how do you know they haven't done that for her already?
And I don't.
We don't know that. So I'm not going to talk about her neighbors since I don't know.
It's 7 times. It's 7 times. They you know, nobody wanted to go over and help out.
I know.
I don't know. I just think it's a neighbor thing.
But I think they might have already helped out and decided, okay, we can't do this for a lifetime. We need to let her know. Get out and shovel your snow.
She's on her 7th chance right now, huh?
Right. She don't have those 7 lives. She wish she did, but that ain't it. But I thought it was funny because I get so frustrated sometimes when you're walking around, especially at you know, for companies, for storefronts, for malls.
Yes.
If they have not shoveled their snow and I'm almost slipping.
Yeah.
You know, there are words that come out.
Yeah. Not godly words. Not Sunday evening words that we can share.
I really hope that all of us will get out there and shovel as much as we can. But please know that you must say thank you to your neighbors. If they ever do anything to shovel your sidewalk, even if it's just a little piece of it, don't get mad and think, oh, that's all they're going to do. Don't you dare, because they don't have to do that much. It's a great neighbor that really cares enough about you for you to be safe to come and do even a portion of your sidewalks and your steps. So say thank you. You can give them a little gift card. I want to give one of my neighbors.
Great time.
Son,
it's Christmas time.
I know. So I want to give them a gift card to like Caribou.
That would be so
nice. I don't know
if
they drink coffee. Now I said, well, they have hot chocolate.
Yeah. And they got tea.
And they have sandwiches.
And they got food. You can
have
lunch there now. Yeah. And they're local.
And they're local.
Yeah.
It's one of our own.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm going to do. All right. We'll be back in a moment. 9:33 here at WCCO. That's one thing on Sunday nights whenever Shaletta is in the studio. I am going to laugh. It's guaranteed. You know, she is a comedian, a professional comedian as well. Welcome back to Steel Talk, and I am your host, Geralyn Steele, and we have a great show lined up for you. I keep telling you about it, but I really don't tell you about it, do I? Coming up next, we're waiting to reach out to our guest, Doug Weed, who actually worked for number 41, President H.W. Bush, who passed away this weekend. And he's just going to give us his take on what it was like working with him in the White House. He worked in his administration as a special assistant, and he even wrote a book about him. So I'm looking forward to talking with him in just a moment. Also at 8 o'clock, we're going to talk to Curtis D. Young. And Curtis, is one of the holiest of times this year. Of course, he knows that. And this year, many churches are dealing with declining parishioners and attendance. And we're going to talk about that and what should be done about churches that have gone empty. We got a lot to talk about there. So I'm looking forward to that. And of course, at 8:35, Kim Havey and Russ Stark are going to talk about how New York impacted the Twin Cities. Have you heard about this? Can't wait to tell you about it. And then Center Stage is 9 o'clock. All things arts and entertainment that you just ought to know about. And then 10 o'clock, my son, Michael Battle, is going to join us to talk about everything from Hanukkah. By the way, happy Hanukkah to all of you that celebrate that holiday. We are thrilled here at WCCO that you are listening and you are joining us. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in the 10 o'clock hour. So stick and stay with us, will you? All right. You know, when it comes to honoring someone who has passed, a leader, whether it's a leader of a corporation or a small business, a boutique, or if it's a doctor or a famous author or you name it. When it comes to presidents, I think we here in this country really honor them in a very special way. Even if they were not well loved or beloved, if they weren't beloved, if they weren't seen as the favorite president, still they seem to go out with pomp and circumstance, which is well deserved. I think to be president is very difficult. Now, will it be something that we will continue doing in the future? I don't know. This is a very difficult time here with this particular president that we have right now. But as we reflect on President George H. Herbert Walker Bush, of course, we know that there are things that he did wrong. Every president does something wrong. But you can always seem to find things, not just a thing, but things that they did right that we can all celebrate together, right? Or at least most of us can celebrate right. I think it must be one of the biggest challenges for a president of a country is to try to do the most for the most. Right? Because if you do the most for the least, that doesn't seem fair. If you do the most for those who only have the most, that doesn't seem fair. So why not do the most for the most? For all, as many Americans as possible. That's what I mean by the most. Do the most that you can do for the most of us, which includes all social statuses, right? There's nothing wrong with that. Work at it. And it takes a lot. You know, getting degrees in leadership, it really has taught me, well, I'm working on the second one, but it has really taught me the importance of leadership and how, you know, I really believe that leadership is something a person is born with. I think that they can be honed, their skills can be honed, and they can be trained a certain way. But can you take just anyone and make them into a leader? I don't know. I do not know if that is true. But if it is true, how great is that, right? We can only hope that we will be the best that we can be. Well, we have our guest now. And as you know, we are paying tribute to the life of President Bush, who passed away on Friday at the age of 94. Navy pilot, congressman, UN ambassador, CIA director, RNC chair, vice president, and eventually the 41st president of the United States. Remarkable. Doug Weed is joining us. He knew the president, worked in his administration, and even as a special assistant, and wrote a book with him called George Bush, Man of Integrity. Welcome to WCCO, Doug. How are you?
Hi, Geralyn. I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh, it's great to have you here on Sunday night, and we appreciate it. I can just imagine how you are feeling right now. Even when someone passes at 94, and we can say, wow, how wonderful it is that they were able to live a very full life up to 94, can't necessarily satisfy those who are very close to them, who will miss them terribly.
Yeah, it's... it's a amazing how it, when someone dies at 94 and you're still shocked.
Right.
You're just not ready, I guess.
Yeah, but I can imagine as a friend of the family, a friend of his, it has to be difficult. When you wrote the book, George Bush, Man of Integrity, tell me why that particular bit. Why did you decide to write about his integrity?
Well, I had written a campaign biography for Ronald. The Bush campaign and then Vice President Bush wanted me to write the book, and it was the title really came from the publisher. I interviewed George H.W. Bush over a period of about a year, year and a half, dozens of interviews on the campaign trail and in Washington and out on the road across America. And after the publisher read the pages, he's the one that said, wow, the title of this should be Man of Integrity.
You know, the reason I asked that question, I was just talking about the degree I'm working on about leadership. And leadership is so integral to our success as a nation, as a people, right? And integrity, of course, is about honesty and good character, the principles, the ethics, the moral ethics of a person. And so here we are in this particular day and age, and some of those principles are going out the window, right? Integrity seems to be... it seems to be walking away from us, leaving this this country of ours, walking away from our norms and mores. And that's a real concern. So integrity, writing a book about someone who held integrity is so important. Do you believe that throughout his entire life, he was a man of service and that integrity led the way for him the whole time?
Yes, he's a very principled man and a very disciplined man. It would be a mistake to not understand that he knew how ruthless power was and politics was, and yet he was kind. Remember, that he ran against Michael Dukakis, and there were the Willie Horton ads. And the one thing I noticed about George H.W. Bush is that he always had a pit bull nearby. Craig Fuller served that role when he was vice president. His first year as president, John Sununu served that role, very tough chief of staff. Pete Thiele did it for a while, and Jennifer Fitzgerald did it for a while. Staffers couldn't stand her. So there was always someone tough nearby, like a stalking horse in his own family. George W. Bush was his son, was the tough guy. And George Herbert Walker Bush would come along and soothe feelings and sort it out. But he knew Lee Atwater was one of the pioneers of negative political campaigning. So I think we look back a bit with rose-colored glasses. Power and the acquisition of power hasn't changed that much. It's always what Disraeli called the slippery pole, climbing that slippery pole. And it involves you have to be tough.
Yeah. You know, I'm wondering if you ever had, you ever disagreed or got into a verbal fight or had disagreed in some way that may have hurt the relationship just for a moment.
You know, I debated him vigorously. I was a shill in the practice debates, but that didn't happen with him. He respected people who had different opinions. And I remember once in the practice debates, I was supposed to be his opponent. Mm-hmm. And I remember I hit him pretty hard on some issues. And afterwards, I immediately apologized. I said, I'm so sorry that if I was sharper. He said, no, that's what you're supposed to do. That's what you're supposed to do. And I'd read how Ronald Reagan got kind of beat down in some of his practice debates and thought maybe that we should go easy. But no, George Herbert Walker Bush, he wanted it dished out as tough as you could get it because it was preparing him for the actual debates. But he didn't take things too personally. You saw how he made up with Bill Clinton in spite of the fact there had been very deep feelings and real disappointment that he expressed to me, not only about the election, but about President Clinton's performance and some of the scandals. But that all healed, and they've become fast friends. And now look at this. He's invited Donald Trump to his funeral.
Can you believe it?
So that's typically George Herbert Walker Bush.
It's just so shocking. We were just talking about that off air a moment ago, that, you know, that he invited him there. So and he's coming is what I understand. So
yeah.
That really is remarkable. Now, you yourself have been involved in elections as well, and you had a lot to do, if I'm correct, with President George W. Bush's victory in 2000, which was a very difficult time in our nation. Can you tell me some of the differences, the notable differences between his father and son?
Well, they're a lot alike in many ways, but the differences are stark. George Herbert Walker Bush deliberated carefully. He got advice from everybody. He measured it. He made his decision carefully, but he considered all kinds of, he'd go down a rabbit trail that, you know, he wasn't going to make that decision, but he wanted to explore it before he eliminated it. And just tedious. And even after it was done, he'd say, I wonder if I did the right thing. I was with him after he raised taxes and broke his pledge, and he was in agony over whether he had done the right thing, and kind of sensed that he hadn't. Whereas the son, George W. Bush, just he made decisions so quickly and so spontaneously, it just took your breath away. You could bring to him a list of very difficult and hard decisions that the campaign had deliberated over for 6 months, and he'd go right down the list. Number one, yes. Number two, no. Number three, yes. Number four, yes. I'd say, wait a minute. Why'd you say yes to number three? And he'd explain his reasoning. I'd think, yeah. So that was a big difference. And both of them were strengths, and both of them were very bad weaknesses for both men.
Mm. You know, that happens often with leaders, right? They're on one end of the spectrum and another end of the spectrum. You know, there's something really, really fantastic and something really, really awful. So that's not surprising to hear. But at the same time, I think we knew and understand, at least I accepted that, HW was definitely a compassionate man. And I think you coined the phrase compassionate conservative or had something to do with that. But I would say he definitely was compassionate. I did feel like he was measured. I did feel like he thought it through to see who would be harmed the most. You know, where do you have to look on all sides of this issue. But you know, in today's world, it's a whole nother ball game. And I can just imagine what he must have felt watching all of this unfold in our country. Did you get a chance to have conversations like that with him recently?
Not recently, but over the years leading up to this election, many conversations about it. You're very right. I can't wait to read what you write about leadership. But if you see that, it's seldom in history that we can see what would have happened if a president had made a decision differently. But we can with the two Bushes. For example, George H.W. Bush put together this great alliance. Metternich never had an alliance like this. The whole world was allied. But people complained, some of George W.'s friends in Texas says, why didn't your dad finish off Saddam Hussein? He won the war. Why didn't he finish him off? But, well, now you can see it would have upset the equilibrium of the Middle East. It ended up resulting in 500,000 deaths. It upset the balance of Sunni-Shia. It upset Iran-Iraq balance. Remember, Jordan was actually an ally with Saddam Hussein. The whole Middle East is in chaos now. And that was the difference. He understood, even though he'd be criticized for it, that he should get Saddam Hussein out of Kuwait. The world was united with that. Can't invade your neighbor. But he didn't want to take it any further. The son did. And the father paid for it. Half of the Gulf War was paid for by Saudi Arabia and Kuwait. Imagine that. And the other half by taxes. Wow. But George W. Bush did it all on borrowed money from the international banks and from the big corporations. And the result is the world was dropped in the second worst depression in history. Mm-hmm. So there's the difference between the two. You can see it very clear.
That is a huge difference. And, you know, I always hope that leaders will learn from other leaders, whether they succeed or not. My father used to say all the time, you can learn from anyone. I don't care if it's a wino. Remember that term? He said, I don't care if it's a wino sitting on a corner. You can still learn how to be or how not to be. And I really do take that very seriously. It is such a pleasure having you on tonight. And if there was one thing you would want us to remember about him, we know that he was a compassionate conservative and so much more. But the one thing that we don't know that's in your brain and in your heart that you would love for people to know tonight, what would it be?
You know what? I will take to my grave secrets about George H.W. Bush. And I was thinking about this last, just all day yesterday. I was thinking, why is that? Here are these remarkable things that are historically important, but I will take them to my grave because he was so kind. And there's so much grace that a person wins when they're kind to another person. You just don't want to touch them. You don't want to hurt them. And so you'll pull your punches. And that's how I feel about him. And I want to have that kind of kindness working for me.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Although I might check in with you in about a decade and we'll see if you stick to that. It's a pleasure having you join us, Doug. And by the way, you were born in Muncie, Indiana. I went to Ball State University, my first iteration in college. And and then you also went to high school, I think, in South Bend. I used to sing all over South Bend. So I was excited to interview you tonight. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Have a great evening.
You too.
That is Doug Weed. He was an assistant to H.W. Bush. And of course, he is now gone. He died this weekend, if you don't know, at 94 years old. What a remarkable life at 94. We're going to take a. Everybody, that's what he said. Everybody. It is now 7:51 here at WCCO. By the way, I want to remind you that the Players Show is tomorrow at 5:30 on WCCO Radio. That's 5:30 p.m. Harrison Smith joins Mike Max and former Vikings GM Jeff Diamond at the Lone Oak Grill in Eagan. Again, that's at the Lone Oak Grill in Eagan. Do you know if that's open to anyone, the public or not? Yeah, Shaletta says that's open to the public. So if you can get down there and check it out, you're welcome to do so. Do we know what the Vikings update is, Shaletta? Do you know where we stand tonight? I think they're playing the Patriots. And so I'm looking for the we'll get you that in just a moment. We do hope that we'll have that for you just a moment. Also want to let you know that, as the weather cools, you got to make sure that you cozy up to the fire Wednesday nights on WCCO for the Minnesota Twins Hot Stove Show. Yeah, yeah. It's called the Minnesota Twins Hot Stove Show. We'll go behind the scenes each week and keep you up to date on the latest off-season moves. And that'll be with Chris Atterbury and company. So that's Wednesday nights at 6 p.m. right here on the home of the Twins. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Bad news, Geraldine.
Uh-oh.
We lost to the Patriots 10-24.
No.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I know you didn't want to hear that. I'm sorry.
Oh. When did the game end?
Just a few moments ago. Not too long ago. But yeah, that's the final. There's no more time. She's looking at me like maybe if they had another five minutes.
I'm just saying.
No, they don't get more time. That's it. The game's over. The clock is ticked down to zero.
Me? You just want to see me cry.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
You just want to see me cry. Okay, then. Hey, thanks so much again to Doug Weed, who joined us tonight. The name of his book was George Bush, Man of Integrity, if you want to pick that up. Coming up after the top of the hour, we've got Curtis DeYoung joining us, and we're going to talk about what's going on with churches. Did you know a lot of churches are closing up? In fact, you have a lot of congregations that are merging, going under one roof, and they have to decide. Can you imagine, Shaletta, how difficult it is to decide who is going to be the boss? Like, who's going to be the lead pastor or, you know, which bishops will do? I mean, can you imagine?
No, I can't. You know, in one church, there is enough internal strife to last a lifetime. So you blend two churches, maybe two different religions. What they did at my aunt's church, they did this especially in small towns like Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Yeah.
Where, you know, the membership is dying up and they can't afford the rent or the mortgage. They are renting out the church in the afternoons.
So a lot of churches are doing that. They're renting it out. Yeah.
In the morning,
still, you've got the gas gas going all day long. You've got all the bills having to be covered, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, but the challenge is when it comes to, you know, usually there's a succession plan within a church or within a corporation, right? Or a company or a small boutique. If it's a family business, there's a succession plan. And when you all of a sudden are forced to downsize and you say to yourself, either we're going to close our doors or we have to merge with another church, who is the one that gets to say who's going to be in what position in leadership? Is it the church that's doing well that you're merging with? Are they the ones that have the say-so? Can you imagine what those other members are going to feel like when they come into being in service with another church who may not have the same standards or may be a little different in the way that they do things?
Or maybe relaxed dress. You know, a lot of times in churches, right, dress is a big deal.
Oh, can I just tell you,
yeah,
that I miss the dressing up of Americans? We don't even dress up for weddings like we used to. You know, my great nephew actually got married about a month and a half ago. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. And he looks so dapper and she looks so beautiful in her gown. And they did an outdoor wedding in November. I think it was November
2nd. They did an outdoor wedding in November?
Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
In Minnesota?
Do you hear what I'm saying to you?
Ouch.
Okay, and nobody knew. So when we arrived at the country club, right?
Yeah.
Oh, they look so beautiful, though. I have to tell you, they look so, so great.
Oh, I bet.
But, of course, the people at this particular wedding dressed up. I was so excited about that.
Yeah.
You know, they had the 7-inch pumps on. I don't know how y'all walk in those shoes, baby, but my God.
Sliding carefully.
Your toes going to be wrapped around your knees after a while. I mean, seriously, these shoes were so high, but they looked amazing. The men looked great. The women looked great, but a couple of people wore jeans. I just want you to know, a couple people wore jeans. I miss going to certain churches where they're in jeans and flip-flops in the summer. And
yeah.
You know?
If you look at those old photos of families when they got ready to go to church, the children were all dressed up and they looked good. They had hats and gloves.
Are you talking
on.
About black children or children of color? Are you
I'm talking about,
of,
well, the only ones I've seen are my family, old black folk.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Because I've been to some Lutheran churches where on Easter, they'll dress up more.
Okay.
Now, will they dress up like they do at a black church? Not necessarily. Most black churches, as you and I know,
yeah,
the women wear their crowns, honey. They come in
bejeweled. Oh, yes, yes.
You know,
and
sequin
so,
suits. And,
you know, the kids are all greased up and slicked down.
Girl,
and,
Vaseline was
yes,
our friend when I was growing
priest,
up.
And I'm thinking, how do they get to church on time?
Do you I've do that with
four,
your
no,
children?
No, ma'am, I do not. I was just about to say, I have four kids. And if you look at a picture of us headed to church,
yeah,
you don't know if we're going to church or a pumpkin patch.
Oh, no.
Because we are just trying
to
get out of the door.
The church you go to, they dress up.
They do dress up. They do. We are just trying to get out of the door. Now, my husband, he will be dapper from head to toe.
Always.
I mean, oh, girl, yes, smelling good, looking good. And me and the kids come behind him. It looked like he picked us up at the foster care center or something, girl. I promise you. I mean, we're really just trying to get out of the door. I don't know how those mothers did it back then, but I can't get it done.
Well, a lot of those women were domesticated. So, you know, when I shouldn't say domesticated, they were domestic women. They were housewives. And
they
that
knew
was
how
their
to do
job.
It without
and they
a
knew
microwave.
It and they did it well. Exactly.
Yes. How did they do that?
Girl, I remember when microwaves first came out. I'm not even that old. 20-something-something.
So, yeah, so we got jeans on. We got tennis shoes on. Sometimes
right.
we can't find the shoes. Somebody might have on a pair of snow boots. They may match. They may not. I'm just trying to get in the door.
Right. But when the Ordway was built not so long ago, people dressed up to go to theater. They were bejeweled in their sequin tops from Dayton's and, you know, leather coats. And you looked good when you went out to go to theater. It was important. It mattered, right? Now, if you're going to Bryant Lake Bowl, maybe not. Maybe not. I don't know. But if you went to the Ordway or the State Theater or Orpheum Theater, you dressed up. Nowadays, uh-uh. I went to Hamilton. Girl.
We would just come. We were just glad to be in the number.
Just glad
We're
to be
just
in
glad
the
number. To be in the number.
But I've seen you dressed up.
You have. It
I
ain't
have.
Been many times, though.
Yes, it has. When you had that television show before?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, you did. Yeah. You dressed up all the
and
time.
And guess what? I had one child.
Oh, that's the difference.
That's what it was. Yeah. Yeah. It's the other three that came along. I still have those suits. I just can't find them.
You can't find them? They're tucked away
they
in all the moving.
They're somewhere behind
baby pampas moved a lot since
and
then. You
boxes
moved a few
of
times.
Toys. And they're somewhere in there.
Well, you've moved.
I just can't find them.
That's all right.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the bottom line. It's important to go to church. I don't care how you look. It's important to go to church. I need to follow my advice. So I'll see you there. We'll be back in a moment.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.